I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Degenovic. A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Return now to our developing story that we've been reporting all morning long, the protests in China. They're erupting in response to another round of COVID shutdowns. Like, where the rest of the world has moved on from COVID, not China.
Can you hear that? If you say Xi Jinping in a protest in China, you're going to end up in prison.
Yeah, they're taking huge risks. It makes me realize how fortunate we are in this country. When we protest, we can peacefully protest. We can chant. We can hold up a sign. But in China, it is a risk. But what I want to know is one of the things they're crying out for is for their president, Xi Jinping, to resign over his lockdown policies. Let me tell you what it's been like there from what I've read. This latest lockdown was a 100-day lockdown. And the zero tolerance policy is about COVID, not necessarily like the lockdown itself. So what the regime wants to happen is that cases remain at zero, and they're at 38,000 right now. So they're nowhere near zero. And you pointed out this latest variant spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, I was watching the daily or listening to the daily podcast, and they said comparing it to the original virus, the original mutation, this one that is out there right now, which is a variation of the Omicron, is 175 times more contagious. So it is, you catch it immediately. It's not a severe version, but the chances of you catching it are almost, guaranteed.
There looks to be thousands of people on the streets. Steve Bannister is the University of Utah Director of Master of Science in International Affairs and Global Enterprise. That is a long way of saying we hope, we think you're an expert in this. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
It's good to have you on the air again. So I don't want to pretend like I'm thinking the same way a lot of Utahns are, but when I woke up and saw that there was this uprising in China and it looked like there were thousands of people taking to the streets, I thought, is there a chance they're going to get their president, they're going to knock him out of power? What are your thoughts?
Boy, that'd be a very difficult thing for me to believe. I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, Xi Jinping he's boxed himself in by turning more inward and acquiring more power. Now, if something goes wrong, it's on him.
Right.
He is trying. I mean, I've thought a lot, frankly, about why he's doing what he's doing, and done a bit of research on it. He just seems like he's trying to increasingly differentiate the Chinese system from the U.S. system or the Western system or whatever else you want to characterize. And this is one of the methods, one of the benchmarks he's chosen is doing a better job on controlling COVID than anyone else. So, and this just blows this up in pieces.
Well,
so I don't know what's going to happen.
When I look at it in the way you described it, I would imagine that he would be able to say, look what's happening in capitalist America, and look how many people are dying and have died. But here in communist China, we don't even have one case. Is that the marketing pitch?
I think that was part of his intent, absolutely. And it's not just on COVID, but on many ways, as he turns more inward, more nationalistic, he's trying to find ways of differentiating himself from the Western world to try to make the case that the Chinese system is superior to capitalism, or however you want to characterize the Western systems. And so he's got himself boxed in now that the population seems to be erupting. I mean, I don't think they've had anything like this since Tiananmen Square in 1989. And that was limited to Tiananmen Square in Beijing, right? And so it was easy to massacre all those people after a couple of months. I don't know what they're going to do with people all over China in major cities, you know, just protesting in the thousands, it seems like.
I think what this says is that, you know, you can keep people locked down for the greater good for a time. But you keep them locked in small spaces, and many of them are in apartments.
Yeah.
Eventually, people want to live their lives. And so, in some cases, I'm reading that people were living inside the factories where they worked, so they didn't make contact with the outside world. I mean, who can live like that?
Correct. And this was apparently triggered by, there was an apartment fire somewhere out in West China that killed 10 people or something like that. And they were blaming, you know, the COVID lockdown on the how long it took to respond and try to get that out. So they ended up with dead people. But that was just the trigger. You mentioned factories. I think the Foxconn factory, you know, Foxconn is the assembler of all the Apple products. And they have a huge operation in mainland China. And I think their biggest factory, the employees were being locked down in the factory, and they rebelled. This was like several weeks ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And they, you know, they broke out and they tore down the fence that they put around the place and escaped. So that seems like that was the beginning of, you know, the real rebellion to this zero COVID policy that Xi is trying to put in place.
Steve,
and it's going to be a tough thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Steve Bannister. I just wanted our listeners to know that we're talking to Steve Bannister, University of Utah director over international affairs and global enterprise. And I wonder.
And on the in the econ department, I'm a professor in the economics department as well. So I wanted to get that in.
You're going to stay busy. You're going to stay busy throughout the year.
Yeah.
What's the future look like for these protesters?
That's a great question. I mean, the only reference point I've got is, well, I mean, they've been cracking down in Hong Kong, right? After Hong Kong became free of Great Britain, finally, and when was that? 1999, I guess. Increasingly, China has cracked down, and they've included police actions. But I don't know that that has been as widespread as this current mainland China uprising that seems to be going on. The only other reference point is, as I mentioned briefly, Tiananmen Square, 1989, and that was a couple months worth of student-led protests. Oh, I think it was over the killing of some student who was protesting the army or something. I forget exactly the details. But eventually, Tiananmen Square is this enormous central square in Beijing. I've actually been there. And it was full of protesters, and they sent in the military and massacred them. I mean, they killed, I think, several hundred. And that's been a real blot on, you know, on China's reputation internationally, and they've tried to move beyond it. Well, I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to send the army? I mean, they have the capability. They have enough of an army, certainly, to do massacres again. And I don't put it past them, but I don't know. I just don't know. It's a great question.
Well, I think that is the real fear, right? Because we have seen this play out before in the past. And I think as we see the videos, and these protesters are not just chanting. I mean, they are throwing barricades. They are pushing back against the police. This is violence, right? They are more than just chanting. And I think this is where the world is looking at China, trying to see how they will react. Because if there's another Tiananmen Square, now that we have social media and we will see all of the videos, China won't be able to sweep this under the rug like they did.
Straight ahead, let's dive into the conversation about Gavin Newsom, governor of California, saying he's not going to throw his hat in the ring for president for the Oval Office if President Biden decides he's going to run again for president.
Dave and Dujanovic.
You can catch info anywhere.
But KSL News Radio is a dependable source.
We invite you to join us weekdays between 5 and 9.
Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon.
Utah's morning companions for news.
The BYU Cougars are on the court.
Spencer, step back. Three.
Got it! Every Cougar game, every block, and every jam is live right here. Tuesday, it's BYU Westminster. Pre-game is at 6, tip-off at 7 on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.